This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
This episode is brought in part to you by Audible, your go-to destination for thrilling audio entertainment. Whether you're looking for a hair-raising experience to enjoy while you're on the move or eager to dive into sinister and shocking tales, Audible has an exclusive collection of thrillers from best-selling authors that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Like James Patterson's first audio-only thriller, The Coldest Case. Experience stories like never before, where every chilling detail is brought to life by captivating sound design. Plus, as an Audible member, choose one title a month to make yours forever. And now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Just visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Good reviews for potential virus drug.
Remdesivir has a clear-cut, significant positive effect.
Federal distancing guidelines to expire.
Everybody's anxiously waiting to get out of their homes.
Not allowed off a cruise ship.
We're just stuck here like a prison.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan in northern New Jersey with the CBS World News Roundup. It's a ray of hope in what's been a dark and deadly battle. The drug remdesivir shows signs of promise in early testing on coronavirus patients. Here's CBS's Ben Tracy.
Dr. Anthony Fauci calls the drug remdesivir the new standard of care after a clinical trial showed it can block coronavirus. Hospitalized patients who took the drug recovered in 11 days, compared to 15 for those given a placebo, a 31% improvement.
Although a 31% improvement doesn't seem like a knockout 100%, it is a very important proof of concept.
But the drug, made by California-based Gilead Sciences, had a very small impact on the death rate, and the study still needs to be reviewed.
As more people, more companies get involved, it's going to get better and better.
The drug is not yet approved, but the president wants the FDA to do so as soon as possible.
We would like to see very quick approvals, especially with things at work.
Florida is the latest state to take new steps to reopen. Governor Ron DeSantis giving retail stores and restaurants the green light to open Monday if local laws allow it.
What we're going to do is allow outdoor seating with social distancing, so you need to have at least 6 feet apart. And then indoors, they can do 25% capacity.
Excluded for now is South Florida, where there are more virus cases and the population is dense. California's Governor Gavin Newsom has taken new action to enforce social distancing. He's closing state beaches.
The move is largely a response to what took place last weekend here in Southern California when thousands went to area beaches. Newsom clearly was not pleased.
We can't see the images like we saw, particularly on Saturday in Newport Beach and elsewhere.
The order takes effect tomorrow. All state parks will also be closed. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Federal social distancing guidelines expire tonight, and as CBS's Stephen Portnoy tells us, there's no appetite to extend them.
The president hosted executives eager to see the country reopen, including the CEO of Hilton Hotels.
What we're hearing from our customers is that they're desperate to get back out.
Mr. Trump seems desperate to leave the White House, too. He's only been out of the building once since early March. He says he'll travel to Arizona next week, possibly Ohio after that.
We're going to start to move around, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future, we'll have some massive rallies and people will be sitting next to each other.
That, he says, would depend on the conditions in a given state. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
There have been so many heartbreaking stories from the hospital front lines in this pandemic. CBS's David Begno tells us about 56-year-old Pamela Orlando.
The nurse from New Jersey worked three jobs. She was a breast cancer survivor and a single mom. to 16-year-old Ryan and 23-year-old Reed.
I begged my mother to not go to work, but that's not who my mom was.
From home, she started to document what would be the end of her life.
Today I have a fever that I can't get rid of.
By day three, she was hospitalized where she works.
Oh my God, this is no joke. I am so uncomfortable.
On the fifth day,
I feel horrible.
Later in the day, she was struggling just to talk.
Move without being short of breath.
Pamela posted 5 more videos, but she didn't speak.
She was trying to log every day of the sickness to show the masses or whoever would watch it how this deathly virus can progress.
A bad smell in Brooklyn was the first sign of trouble. New York City police called to the scene of a funeral home overwhelmed by coronavirus victims, found 4 rented trucks containing about 50 bodies. The home was cited by police, and later they brought in a refrigerated truck. Well, the coronavirus has left the $50 billion a year cruise industry adrift. Ships are going nowhere for the next 3 months. Also left stranded, at least 9 American crew members aboard the Oosterdam, who were blocked by the CDC from getting off the ship this week in L.A. because of strict quarantine rules. Dan Dominich is a crewman on another ship with the same problem.
We're on a ship with 1,300 other crew members from 60 different nationalities, and our nation is the one that's not letting us back into the country, and that's embarrassing.
The State Department says it's working to resolve the situation. There's been an arrest in Washington, D.C. after someone with an assault rifle opened fire outside the Cuban embassy overnight. No one was hurt. Georgia, which has been leading the way in reopening its economy, is suspending road tests for driver's license applicants because of the coronavirus. People can still get a license without getting behind the wheel in an online process. Overseas, correspondent Elizabeth Palmer says there's controversy over Israel's effort to track virus victims. It's run by the country's intelligence agency.
When someone tests positive, Shin Bet analyzes phone data to see where they've been and who they got close to. Take Leora Shokin. Her partner was in quarantine with COVID. She decided to visit and stood in the street chatting from a safe distance with her partner on the balcony. But Shin Bet was tracking their phones and judged they were too close. Leora suddenly got a text ordering her into quarantine.
I never agreed with the concept of this type of surveillance.
Many Israelis were stunned to realize they were under surveillance and feel Big Brother has gone too far.
Well, it's quite a 100th birthday for a British World War II vet who has raised tens of millions for the virus fight. Here's CBS's Vicki Barker.
It's hard to believe Captain Tom Moore began this month in obscurity after his fundraising goal of walking 100 laps in his backyard before his 100th birthday went viral.
There he is.
That 100th lap was on live television here.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head.
He recorded a hit single and became the oldest Brit to top the charts, unseating 79-year-old Tom Jones.
If I was going to lose to anybody, it's an honor to have lost to you.
Prince William and Kate's birthday card among the 1.25 million he's received so far. Vicki Barker, CBS News, London.
A legendary actor who likes to fly high has had another rough ride.
It's more proof Harrison Ford may want to stick to acting.
Han Solo. I'm Captain Millennium Falcon.
Officials say he was piloting a 2-seat Aviat Husky at Hawthorne Airport near L.A. that wrongly crossed a runway where another plane was landing a half a mile away. His publicist says the 77-year-old misheard an instruction from air traffic control and immediately apologized. No one was injured. Ford has had several close calls over the past few years. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
Major League Baseball has canceled its Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which was set for late July. The honorees will be part of next year's event. And The Athletic reports the NBA is considering resuming its season at Florida's Disney World, which has several basketball courts and enough room to house players. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.
It was the biggest scandal in pop music. The stars of Milli Vanilli, the Grammy-winning multi-platinum R&B phenomenon, were exposed as frauds. But none of this was their idea. So whose idea was it? Enter German music producer Frank Farian. He saw the success of acts like Michael Jackson and Prince, and he wanted in, no matter the cost. So he devised the perfect pop heist. two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? They couldn't sing. But Frank knew just how to fix that. Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's greatest controversies and takes a never-before-heard look at the exploitation of two young Black artists. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when the truth came out, Rob and Fab were the only ones who got burned. Looking back now, it's hard not to wonder, why did everyone blame them and not the man pulling the strings? Follow Blame It on the Fame, Milli Vanilli, on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Nancy's love story could have been ripped right out of the pages of one of her own novels.
She was a romance mystery writer who happens to be married to a chef.
But this story didn't end with a happily ever after.
When I stepped into the kitchen, I could see that Chef Brophy was on the ground, and I heard somebody say, call 911.
As writers, we'd written our share of murder mysteries. So when suspicion turned to Dan's wife, Nancy, we weren't that surprised.
The first person they look at would be the spouse.
We understand that's usually the way they do it.
But we began to wonder, had Nancy gotten so wrapped up in her own novels?
There are murders in all of the books.
That she was playing them out in real life? You can listen to Happily Never After, Dan and Nancy, early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.